Ladies and gentlemen, we present the Navy Lark with our three stars, John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. Like most men, I've often wondered what girls talk about when they're together. As our wrens, Judy and Heather, are alone in their office now, we might find out. Of course, I know what men talk about when they're on their own, but I'm not telling any of our lady listeners now. Not plain and likely. I mean, holding this job down is hard enough already without Robin sticking his little neck out.
Good morning, Judy.
Oh, hello, Heather. Many happy returns of the watch set.
Oh, thank you.
How did you know it was my birthday?
I didn't. It was all those birthday cards. You've got an awful lot. You must be ever so old to get them.
Well, don't stop now. Put both feet in.
I think I already have.
True. Now I'll pass them over and let the old lady of the Navy have a look at this year's collection.
Oh, that's a nice one. A great big bunny disappearing down his own rabbit hole.
Steady.
Where's it from?
Oh, hang on, I'll open it.
Oh, it's from Abel Seaman Johnson.
Oh, yes, and lovely words, too.
I'm not happy, I'll say it just once more. I'm not happy, but I wish you a happy birthday, Heather. Sure.
Oh, how sweet. Now, who's this one from?
Oh, good gracious.
Oh! I didn't know they sold cards with pictures like that on the front.
I think I can guess who it came from.
Although my poor old washhead mother's jammed something honourable in the door, I'd like to say this festive season, Happy Christmas from 1944.
Happy Christmas?
Oh, it's all right. It's a P.S.
For Christmas, read birthday. And for 44, read 62. Love and Trumpers, Johnson.
Well, I bet that card has done some mileage through the post.
Who's the next one from?
Well, I think it must be Mr. Murray. Somehow a reproduction of Whistler's mother seems to be sufficiently offbeat to come from him.
What's the message?
Happy birthday, Hera, dear. I hope you have a lovely cake. If a Swiss roll instead you want to make, roll him down the mountain till he falls in the lake.
Is that all?
No.
Yes, sorry, pardon.
So I should think. Ah, here it is. This will be the one, I imagine. What do you mean?
I mean, this looks like Mr. Phillips' little offering.
He sent you a present as well.
Oh, lovely. But I think we'll try the card on for size first. What's it say?
To Heather.
Well, at least you got my name right.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Till thunder gusts turn purple, happy birthday to me. I mean you.
Yes, well, that couldn't have come from anyone else, even if he has forgotten to sign it.
P.T.O. I would have signed it, but my pen ran out of ink.
Oh, well, that explains why he did.
Well, how did he write all that, then?
I licked the nib and got a blue tongue.
Yes, well, let's see what the present is, although I have a sneaking suspicion I know already.
How can you?
By the shape. If I'm right, it's what is known by all the wrens within a radius of 5 miles as Old Faithful.
Old Faithful?
Yes, if you haven't been given it yet, you will be. Yes, here it is. I'd know this box anywhere.
It looks like a ring box.
It is, and the ring is Old Faithful. It's a dress ring of polished crewel, set in melted down floggle-toggle metal, actually.
Oh, it looks jolly good.
Well, let's say it lasted well. Something must have gone wrong with Leslie's bookkeeping. This is the fourth time I've had it.
I don't get it. How does he keep getting it back to give away again?
Oh, that's simple. We all know it so well that whenever it turns up at a Christmas or on birthday, we all chuck it in our waste paper baskets, and half an hour later, Leslie turns up, and when your back is turned, he fishes it out again.
It sounds more like C.P.O. Pertwee.
Well, who do you think made the ring in the first place? However, I think that this time, I shall put a stop to Old Faithful's travels.
How?
By wearing it. And wearing it on a third finger of my left hand there. What do you think of that?
Congratulations.
Thank you. Now, that doesn't frighten the life out of our Leslie. I don't know what will.
Good morning, girls. And happy birthday, Heather.
Thank you. And thank you for your card.
That's all right. We made up the verses ourselves.
Oh, I'd never have guessed. Well, shall I tell Captain Povey you're here?
No, not yet. I haven't had time to get at your waste paper, Bob. Bob, 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 Black Sheep. Have you any wool?
Yes, sir, and you are a fool.
And what was all that about?
Well, that was just what you call habit, Heather. You see, we've got so used to making up little poems for your cards that Mr. Phillips can't stop, can he, sir? It's right, isn't it, sir? Sir, where's he gone?
I'm on the Herald's desk.
Phillips, what are you doing down there?
I've got my hand in the waste paper basket. Heather's put her foot on it.
What? Oh, I am sorry. Has it hurt much, darling?
Yes, it jolly well does, and it...
Who?
Let me rub your poor, wounded little hand with mine. There. Is that better?
Rather, I said... Hey, Lummy, no, it isn't. No. No, what's Old Faithful doing on that finger? I mean, who got you engaged to Leslie's polished curl, eh? No, I demand my money back. I mean, take it off. It should be in the waste paper basket. I can explain. You've got the wrong idea. You... Leslie's in the muck.
Oh, isn't he sweet? It won't be a long engagement, of course.
Oh, well, that seems to have cheered him up a bit anyway.
Have you seen... No. Oh, here you are. Well, why wasn't I told?
Well, sir, we were rather too busy telling Sub-Lieutenant Phillips something else. He's engaged.
What? Oh, don't be ridiculous. What woman in her right mind would consider him as a possible husband?
Me. Look, sir. Here's the ring.
Oh, good grief, Old Faithful. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
No, I'm too young, you know.
Well, mentally, anyway.
Agreed. Unfortunately, there won't be a chance for a celebration for a day or two, as Troutbridge is required to represent the Royal Navy at the Salute the Flag Bach Week in Swansea.
Swansea? Tell me! Oh, no, one leading seaman is going to be pleased. Goldstein will do his Welsh nuts.
Yes, there's a sub-lieutenant who's looking a bit perkier now, too.
Yes, rather. Duty first. Age is far, far better. England expects. Yes, Leslie to do his Welsh nuts. Never a Welsher bee. Can I have my saucepan, Buck? The ring out those bells. I've dropped the clanger. Can I go home now, Auntie? I mean, sir.
Sorry about that, sir. Obviously, this engagement has gone to his head.
Very understandable. Being engaged must be a shock for him. He's been vacant for years. Oh, my word, Henry did a joke.
Henry flipping well didn't.
What?
I mean, very comical. A natural ball comical, that's what you are, sir. You're a henny, hysterically, you're a henny, hysterically, mechanically, and henny. You're an early missy. You're very funny, sir. Well done.
All right, the party's over. Now get aboard Troutbridge and set sail for Swansea at once.
Won't forget to come back, will you, darling? I believe all that nonsense about suing for breach of promise is such a bore.
Yes, I believe. Don't you worry. Do nothing with that page until you're told. That is, Leslie will be back. Back.
Well, he better be.
What speed are we
there's a reasonable wind of a fair old bit of a blue storm, we're knocking up the city old 2 knots.
It's too much.
Too much?
Just a minute, Mr. Tritt. I realize that you're trying to make this trip last as long as possible, but we are supposed to get to the Salute the Flag Bark Week this year, not next.
Oh, I don't mind getting there, sir. It's getting back to England home and a beauty I'm supposed to be engaged to I'm worried about.
Ah, well, perhaps she was joking, sir.
She wasn't. Before we sailed, she sent me a bon voyage card.
But what did it say?
Bon voyage.
Mr. Murray meant on the inside, sir.
Oh, well, read it yourself.
Oh, thanks.
Happy voyage, fiancé mine, across the deep blue sea. Oh, how my heart will surely pine to you march back to me.
March back? No, you're not in the army.
P.S. for March, read float.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, it could be worse, sir. Don't worry. At least you know where you are, don't you? Up to your eyeballs in the custard.
Bridge number one here.
Starboard lookout here, sir.
Oh, what do you want, Goldstein?
Leading Seaman Goldstein wants, if you don't mind, sir. I only zzzed at you to let you know that I realize that our puttering about like this on the high seas is all part of a British plot designed by the anti-Welsh imperialists.
Now, Goldstein, what on
earth? Treason, that's what it is. All because they're going to Wales.
Goldstein, will you...
Not that I'm complaining, mind. I just wanted you to know that I know what's going on. And it's all going down in my little black book in indelible pencil.
Do you know something, sis? Once we get to Wales, we'll never hold him down, sir. He'll be flying heck of a haystead for
us. Yeah, possibly, but pardon Leslie if he doesn't panic. I've got enough troubles already.
Yes, I suppose you have, really. Of course, I don't suppose Heather would really sue you for breach of promise.
Maybe not, but that happens to be a risk I prefer not to take.
Yeah, no, don't blame me, sir. I mean, even if she doesn't whack a writ in, her old man might have a bit of a go for alienating his daughter's affliction.
So what you really need is a good lawyer. I remember a brother of mine was once sued for breach of promise, nearly wrecked his career.
He's the one who was the Member of Parliament, isn't he?
Gervase Cranston Bellingham Murray, MP.
Tell me. You're making him painted it in half men, didn't I, sir?
Yes, a little lot like that, I suppose he had to be an MP. I mean, honestly, Gervase Cranston Bellingham Murray. When a chap cops a handle like that, he simply can't stand behind a barrow shouting, lovely right to murders, can he?
If you're quite done with laughing immoderate,
yes, I think I am.
Then, dear, because I was about to tell you about his little trouble with the ladies. Well, to be more precise, one lady, Agnes Spithead.
Who? Agnes Spithead? From the Naval Review of the same name, I suppose.
I wouldn't know about that, Chief, but she fired a legal broadside at Gervase, all right.
You mean she actually sued your brother for broach of premises? Poach of chemises.
Yes, she did indeed. She had a very good case, too, until Harcourt Winthrop Septimus Small QC started his speech for the defense.
Well, very nice.
Gentlemen, let us consider first of all the question of the engagement ring. Much has been made of this token of undying affection which Miss Spithead claims my client presented to her in a moment of hot passion.
That made the judge sit up for a minute. Of course, he'd been dozing off for a bit until then. He gave his gavel a nasty bash and said,
silence in court, Mr. Small. What was that last remark again, if you please? There was an omnibus passing the window at the time you spoke, and I have a feeling I may have missed the spicy bit.
Well, old Septimus Small knew he'd got the judge's attention by now, of course, and pressed home his point.
I was referring to this mysterious ring, my lord.
But a prosecuting counsel popped up on his feet straight away.
Objection, my lord. With due respect to my learned colleague, there is nothing mysterious about the ring.
Who is there? Who? And how can we explain that nobody else but this pickhead has ever seen this ring? Tell me that. No one witness has testified to actually seeing the ring. Well, this got the prosecution shaken, and then he went on to deal.
Oh,
went on
to
deal some rather warm letters. And I think I may say that in all due modesty, we have proved beyond any reasonable shadow of doubt that the letters read here yesterday were never sent to my learned colleague's client at all, but were in fact perfectly straightforward, if a shade eccentric, letters sent to the manager of the Spithead Bagwash and Sunfresh Laundry on the subject of a shirt. For example, the phrase, "If it doesn't fit, darling, we can always have it altered," could not by any stretch of imagination have applied to this fictitious ring, but refers, of course, to the shirt which the Spithead Bagwash and Sunfresh Laundry had shrunk beyond recognition.
Here the judge interrupted by saying, very possibly, but I still haven't heard what that spicy bit was.
Well, 2 days later, when Septimus Ball finally sat down, it was an absolutely open and shut case, and they simply never stood a chance.
You mean Gervais got off?
No, he was done for £5,000 damages.
With costs, of course.
Yes, well, I reckon his brother should hand over another couple of hundred for making us sit through that little lot.
Really, I thought it was jolly interesting. I could have listened to number one all night.
I thought we were going to. Oh, strike your lights, so once you start, you don't have to go on, don't you?
Yes, I suppose I did a bit. It was so vivid in my memory, you see. Yes. I remember at one point, the prosecuting chap got up and said,
No, sit him down again so quick. We don't want to hear no more, sir. Oh, bloody bit me. we don't want to hear no more about it, so we'll wait until the film comes out. Carry on, judge.
Number one's right, though, Chief, you know. What Leslie needs is a good lawyer.
Yes, well, we're heading in the right direction, all right. Look, how about Goldstein's Uncle Edwin? He's still supposed to be the best sewer in the valley. If anyone can get you out of the hot custard, it must be him.
Well, it wouldn't do any harm to ask him when we dock in Wales, would it? Just a minute.
Starboard lookout gear. Leading Seaman Goldstein speaking. What's up?
Oh, nothing much, Goldstein. We just wondered where exactly in Wales your Uncle Edwin lives.
The Slandor Gestley, sir. Such a lovely spot it is. When the fog clears over the sluggy, that is. You know, on a clear day, you can hear the train shunting the coal from the pit, and it's like music to the ears of every son of a bitumous coal heaver.
Yes, all right. All I wanted to know was where. I didn't ask for the conducted tour.
You should have done, sir. You'll never find Slumber Gately without a guide.
Tell him he's hired, sir. I've got to get some advice somehow.
When we get to Swansea, do you think it would take Mr. Phillips, CPO Pertwee and myself to
Slumble Gestley, sir? Oh, yes, I think that could be arranged, sir. In fact, I was hoping I might be able to drop in on Uncle and Aunt Morpeth, like. Mind, it's a busy time of the year for them, really. The solicitor inside's quiet enough, but being an ironmonger as well, he always holds his annual sale just now. Kettles, you know, kettles marked down from 4 and 6 to 5 bob. Sink tidy, sir. Sink tidy slashed from 2 shillings to 0.5 crown.
Yes, well, thanks for the warning. However, we still want to get to Slumball and Uncle Edwin, if possible. Can you help us?
You leave it to me, sir. It's only 10 miles from Swansea.
Only 10 miles, he said. Cool, only 10 miles. We changed trains 4 times. Then we got the local bus. Waited 2 hours for the connection at the depot. Did a wild burst of 0.5 mile and just caught the last pony in track.
Oh, it won't be long now. We're nearly there. What a pity it's his ironmongery department that's having a sale. Now, if it was the soliciting side, maybe I could have got my breach reduced to 2 shillings for a promise.
Mm. Oh, he doesn't have solicitor sales now, sir. He did once, and everybody in Slumbolgesley sued everybody else. Well, even with the sale prices, that ruined a lot of them. So now they just have punch-ups behind the pub instead.
Yeah, very wise of them, but Mr. Phillips can hardly have a punch-up with Heather.
Not likely. She'd murder him.
Yes, quite.
Whoa, Bloodland! Whoa! Slumbolgesley, all change.
All, everybody out! Everybody out! Last one off the tailboard is a toasted tea cake.
Here you are, driver. Keep the change.
How can I? There isn't any.
Well, that's your problem. Good afternoon.
Well, there it is then. Oh, Uncle must have had the shop front repainted. Oh, business must be booming. My brother Di's shopwalker now, see?
How do you do? If you've come to read the meter, it's down in the cellar behind the tin bucket. When you move them, have a look at the quality. Only 17 and 6, we're asking.
Easy, Di, oh, easy, easy. It's the navy, not the gas bar.
Oh, well, 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 well. Fancy that. Happy, how are you? Well, well. Oh, there's well you're looking.
Well, well, well.
And to you, the buckets are only 15 shillings, boy. All sale. Where have you been? Make it 14 and 6. Lovely to see you, boy.
Thank you, Di, thank you. But we really wanted to see Uncle about a bit of sewing.
Oh, there's excited it'll be. Uncle Ed went forward.
Coming, boyo. What can I get you?
No, it's not me. It's Taffy the sailor in that call.
Now, perhaps you better tell him that I'm the one who wants to see him. I can pay cash.
Edwin Goldstein at your service. How much?
Mr. Goldstein, we'd like your advice.
I see. Well, before we get down to soliciting, how about a lawnmower? We've got a special line going cheap.
Oh, no thanks. Somehow a chap doesn't seem to need a lawnmower aboard a ship.
Oh, they're silly of me. I was forgetting. You don't have grass growing on a ship, do you?
Well, they're rollicking low ships of admiralty, and none too pleased if we do.
Tell you what I do, then. You buy the mower, and I'll throw in a packet of grass seed, free.
I say, how about that for a bargain, eh?
Provided you also buy the watering can to make sure the seed grows. Put that bird bath in as well, Di. A lovely buy, that. Look smart on your poop. Now, what's the soliciting problem?
It's Mr. Phillips, uncle.
Then sue him.
Now, you don't understand. I'm engaged to a girl who's going to sue me for breach of promise.
I suppose there were a lot of letters.
Well, one or two dozen.
Well, that's all right, then. Now, would you mind giving me her name and address?
Well, certainly. Hey, what do you want that for?
Well, having considered the facts up to now, I've decided to represent her instead of you. She's got a much better case.
Which reminds me, we're doing a special line in much better cases. Lovely leather job. If you'd like to include one in the rest of your order...
No, thanks. Out, gentlemen, out. I told you should have had Harcourt Septimus Small, Mr. Phillips.
I agree, sir. Order that or stay bespoke, sir.
Well, now, it's funny you should say that, Chief. I've been thinking about that, and why don't I?
Why don't you what?
Well, I don't know why I don't I. Don't I? No, I don't I, do I? No. I mean, why don't I know what I don't want? I mean, I don't know what I know, do I?
I don't know what you're talking about. Come again.
I'd rather not, actually. I'm only saying that I'd rather like the idea of getting engaged to Heather. There comes a time in a chap's life when he wants to settle down and watch his slippers cooking in the fire. And find an armchair waiting for him to smoke it.
We get the idea. The engagement's on, then.
Rather. So there's an engagement party when we get back to Pompey.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Phillips.
Here, here, and that'll be 3 guineas for professional advice.
Oh, pay him, Mr. Phillips. Pay him, or we'll never get back again. Oh, that reminds me. How do we get back again?
Well, you will have to catch the 6:30 pony and trap from Jenkins the Allage. You'll have to hurry, though.
Why, we've got a half an hour to wait.
Oh, no, you haven't. He's having a sale as well. It's reduced to 6 o'clock, see?
Yeah, well, let's offer him 5.45 and see if he'll take it.
What a happy occasion this is, Lieutenant Commander Staunton. To think that two of my children are about to be launched in the sea of matrimony.
Well, I don't know about that, old Gartus.
But one poor fish has been caught, that's certain. That girl must have got a nifty set of tackle to have landed Mr. Phillips and popped him smartly in her jam jar, what?
Hardly the way I'd have put it.
No.
No, no. Can't think where I put it. No, no.
Put what, old brother?
Hey, my feet. Yes. That's what's missing. Yes. Words. They're the chaps we need today. Words. Now, where are they? Where? No. Who? Yes. Who is he?
Well, that's just what I was going to say. Toby, old shucks, who is this idiot?
Idiot?
Yes.
Fountain, this is Rear Admiral Ironbridge.
Is it? Well, hard luck's chance in old Rotgut. It was a good life while it lasted. I suppose I've had my pension now, too.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Now, what's the old fool on about?
His speech. Rear Admiral Ironbridge is here to announce the engagement of Heather to Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
Well, why? Don't they know? Well, someone should have told him by now, you know.
Oh, I can't stand any more of this. And excuse me, gentlemen, I must go and say a few words to the happy couple.
What? Yes, words. Can't meet them. No, when it comes to talking. Yes.
Heather, what on earth are you going to do? After this party, how on earth are you going to get out of it?
I'm not.
Oh, that's all. Did you say you're not?
No. I've been having a little think with myself, and I've decided I rather like this idea. And Leslie feels the same because he's given me a new engagement ring, haven't you, darling?
What? Oh, yes.
Hello. Congratulations to the happy couple.
Yeah, I'm an happy couple myself.
I hope you'll all be very happy together. Personally, I'm hysterical about the old thing.
Yes, quite, Chief. And it's beginning to show.
Yes. Words. In conclusion, I'll give you...
Conclusion? I didn't know he started.
That's all right, sir. That's all right. Neither does he. Yeah. Carry on with your little chat, sir. Lovely talking up to now.
Words, yes. They are the secret. And I give you the happy couple.
Yeah, happy couple.
Well, say something, darling.
What? Oh, yes. Oh, lummy.
A toast by all of us.
Pardon?
And that was John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one. Heather was played by Heather Chasen, Judy was Judy Cornwell, Captain Povey was Richard Caldicott, Taffy Goldstein was Daniel Evans, Di was Ronnie Barker, and Rear Admiral Ironbridge was played by Michael Bates. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston.